We are so glad you've joined us today for our Tuesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we are continuing our study in Exodus, so let's listen in now to Pastor Dave.
Soon your trials will be over.
Now the parents couldn't do that. The parents had to bring them before the elders. The elders are there to discern, to make sure that, for one, they're not trumped up charges, that the parents aren't really being too harsh. The elders would judge that. However, if it was true, upon interviewing him and the friends he hangs out with and other people that kind of see the same behavior and how long has it been going on, and that there is now a point of no return, then yes, they would make that judgment. They would make that judgment. So God obviously takes his command to honor father and mother very, very seriously. Now, honor your father and mother defines right there what parents are. A father and a mother. This rules out, by very definition, any sort of same-sex partners. It totally rules that out. Parents are defined here as a father and a mother by God himself. Interesting, as God the Father brings God the Son into the world, he puts them under the care of a father and a mother. Verse 12 again says here, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. There's a promise attached to this. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. This promise had special meaning for the Israelites. They had just been brought out of the land of slavery, the land of Egypt, and God had promised to lead them into a new and better country. One way they could ensure that they would keep living the land was to honor their father and mother in the faith. Now, this promise was not to be taken as an automatic guarantee that children who obey their parents will automatically live until they're 100 years of age. Nor does it mean that if someone dies at an early age, it's because they broke the fifth commandment. There are other provinces determining the length of a person's life, such as the nation as a whole worshiping God, not worshiping idols, a person himself not getting involved in bad behavior and things like that. But the actual term long life in the land is a Hebrew expression that means abundant life, is what that means. The fullness of God's blessing of each and every day of life that you have. The amount of time a person has on this earth was a time that was lived out in its fullest of God's blessing, meaning the days themselves would be long with blessing. You can live to 100 years old, but if you don't know God, that's not a good life. You can live to 50 years old, and yet it could be long of God's blessing of each and every day if you know God. That's what happened with Joey. 52 years of age, but his days were long with God's blessing. So long as Israel was obeying their covenant relationship with God, obeying the rules of society as God has laid down, if a person was honoring his father's mother, then guess what? Their days would be filled with God's blessing. And so this speaks of quality, not quantity. This is a very important reason for children to honor their father and their mother, to obey them, because God is giving them the responsibility to teach their children how to know and serve God. I want you to go to Malachi chapter 2. Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament. So if you know where Matthew is, make a quick left. I love the book of Malachi. Malachi asks the question that answers the question. You know, and so there's seven of these questions, you know, that he asks from the very beginning. You have asked, I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? And then he answers, yet Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. And so he does that all the way through there. He asks the question, you have said this, but this is how God answers it. And I always joke about how it reminds you of people from Philly.
You want to go to the game? Let's go to the game. You want to get something to eat? Let's get something to eat. I mean, you don't even get a word in edgewise. They ask you, they answer it all at one time. That's Malachi, you know. And so Malachi here, he calls them out, you know. He calls them out for why God is not going to receive their offerings. And he tells him, he said, the reason he's not going to receive your offerings is because you're not right with your heart. And you've dealt treacherously with your wives. Meaning what? Meaning you're divorcing them. You're supposed to be one. You're supposed to be with them forever. And you're divorcing them for all sorts of reasons. None of them good. And so he says here in verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Chapter 2 of Malachi. Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, for she is your companion, your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? You should have this underlined. Because he seeks godly offspring. One of the main reasons for getting married and having kids is to raise them up to know God. He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth, for the Lord God of Israel says he hates divorce. One of the reasons for marriage is to raise godly offspring. In all the ways that a child can honor his or her parents, the most important way is to listen to what they have to tell them about God and his way of salvation. So then it brings us to the parents' responsibility. Kids don't automatically honor their mother and father. They don't automatically respect dad and mom, okay? It is us teaching them who God is, the way of God, what God has done for us, okay? And then when we do that, they will honor their father and their mother. And if they don't, then you bring them before the elders because there's some sort of disconnect of what's happening there. In Proverbs 1:8, Solomon said, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs 3:1 says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of day and long life and peace they will add to you. These words here are again a commentary in the fifth commandment. Solomon talking to his son. Solomon repeats the promise of long life, prosperity, ties it to that biblical teaching of that they're going to get in home. This is the heart of the fifth commandment. And so there is that point in every child's life where they begin to think, you know what? I think I know better than mom and dad. I think I know more than my parents. Well, guess what? I want you to Luke chapter 2, because I'm here to tell you something. Jesus thought that. But can I first say there was only one Jesus? But yet, even though you might feel that way, what is it that we saw Jesus do? So here in Luke chapter 2, it's one of my favorite stories, okay? Verse 42, and when he was 12 years old, Jesus is 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now, back then when you would go to one of the feasts, you would usually travel with people from your community. So people from Nazareth would be a big caravan that's kind of going there. Celebration, you gather everybody up, and you come back. All right? As they were coming back, as they have this big company of people, they're probably assuming Jesus is either with Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so. You know, they have other kids that they got to kind of track. Jesus is the oldest. Surely he's with somebody else.
Okay. Now, I still have this question. Okay. They are responsible for the Son of God. I would think this would be the foremost thing on their mind wherever they go. Yeah, they have other kids, but let's not lose God. I think I would have just been a little bit more focused on that. Yeah, there were other children that you know, Mary and Joseph had. You would think before the caravan left, they would have shouted out the names. And I would have thought Jesus would have been the first one. Down, check. Jesus, right here, check. Okay. Joseph, check. Okay. And going on down the line. Didn't happen for whatever reason. Whole day. Then it says, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem. Well, if it took a day to get to wherever they went, it takes a day to get back. But then it says, in verse 46, now it was after 3 days. So even getting to Jerusalem, for some reason, it took you most of that day. But I find it interesting every time you see 3 days in Scripture. Isn't it interesting he is found after 3 days? Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days. You know, that's when the disciples and everybody found him again, was after 3 days. There's always some sort of typology there. And so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them, asking them questions, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I bet. I want to see that when I get to heaven as well. That big film room again of just going into that amazing theater that you know that they have with surround sound and just playing all these things that we read about in the Bible. I want to see it live. I want to see him confounding them. You know, I want to see what Jesus looked like at 12. And, you know, all those kind of things would be just amazing. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." I bet. How do you explain that to God? Hey, I lost your son. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. I'm pretty sure that Jesus could take care of himself at 12. I'm pretty sure he could go by the leading and guiding of God at that time. I think he could do a lot of different things at that point, but it wasn't time yet. And so what does a 12-year-old son do with his parents? He honors them. He respects them. And he subjects himself to them. And that's exactly what Jesus did. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, as you do as a child when you subject yourself under your parents and in favor with God and men. God will be pleased with that. So Jesus submitted to his parents, even though he probably knew more than they did at that point, and especially spiritually speaking. But he honored them and submitted to them. Okay, Dave, but I was not raised in a spiritual home. I was not raised with Christian parents. And there's many of us that can say that. I'm at a spiritual disadvantage. Well, yes and no. We're all damaged, okay? I don't care how wonderful your parents were, you know. They probably damaged you in some way, little ways, some in major ways or whatever. I have damaged our kids, but it's in a good way if you ask me. A little damage is always good. However, when you come to Jesus Christ, God is so gracious. By the saving work of Jesus Christ, you have now been adopted. You're an orphan. You're now adopted. And you're put in the most important family of all, the family of God. And in Psalm 27:10, it says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. The Lord is my father." When parents fail in the area of bringing up their children to know and love the Lord, it's usually because their parents failed them, okay? It's usually because of that. And so they didn't know the Lord, and so they didn't know how to really raise you or whatever it might be. But here's the faithful saying, that when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Come to God. Come to God. I know so many people that didn't have a mother or a father growing up. But they came to know Jesus, and guess what? Then God showed them what it was to be a mother or a father. He showed them how to pour into their kids, even though they didn't have a dad or a mom who did that for them. God will do that for them. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Even though we're supposed to honor our father and our mother, give respect to mother and father, we can never let honoring them get in the way of following the Lord. Because how many of us have parents that don't like the fact that we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Probably several here. But in Matthew 10, it says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus is saying this. Chapter 10, verse 34. Did I make that? Am I at the correct place? Am I wrong? Okay. We're good? 10:34? Just so you know, I was wrong last night. I said go to Matthew 37. There's only 28 books in the book, you know, chapters in the book of Matthew. But when you write something down wrong, I'm telling you. And so now I'm racking my brain. Okay, what address am I thinking? You know, because I wrote down the verses, and it was just huge. So I'm second guessing. It is 10:34, right? Okay, just making sure. "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." I can't believe that Jesus came to disrupt the unity in the family. You know what? Unity towards destruction is not a good thing. Unity in the truth is a good thing. And so, again, yeah, that family doesn't know God. I'm going to bring somebody who does know God. I'm going to bring that light into a very dark situation. And guess what? Darkness doesn't like the light. He did not come to bring peace to a family that is headed towards darkness or that is in darkness. He hasn't. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross, follow after me, is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it." There has to come a time as we grow in our own faith with the Lord that the Lord becomes our ultimate parent. And we will do what God says over what somebody else is recommending that we do in our life. This is one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul would say again in Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." There's the qualifying. I continue to obey my mom, you know, in the Lord. In the Lord. And that's an important qualification. The honor we owe our parents can never come at the expense of the honor we owe the Lord. And so so when Christians cannot rely upon the parents for godly advice, well, then you can then go to God himself. You can go to the Word itself, and God will speak to you. You could seek counsel from the church itself, and they will give you counsel according to God's Word. And so now, even though we might not have had Christian parents, we still need to give them honor and respect. That means listening to them. It means caring for their needs, being a witness to them so they can see Jesus in us and want to have what we have in our relationship with Jesus. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Honoring your father and mother is making them a priority. You call them. You stay in constant communication with them. You make them a part of what's going on in your life. And it means caring for them to the very ends of their lives. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We want to make all sorts of excuses of why not to be able to take care of our parents if they're in need. And Matthew 15, 1, it says, "And the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?'" Yes, quite often the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders. "For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Okay. "And he," Jesus, "answered and said to them," I love this, Jesus always answers a question with a question. He goes, let's go to something a little bit more important than what you're asking me. He says, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God?" Now, what's more important, the tradition of the elders or the commandment of God? I would say the commandment of God. If we're going to talk about transgressions, shouldn't we talk about transgressions against God instead of transgressions against men? I would say yes. And he says, this is how you do it, because of your tradition. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,'" that is known as Corban. Okay? Corban is that you say, "Oh, God, you're so wonderful that everything I have is yours." But by saying that, the tradition is, you could still use all that stuff. You could still use what you have to provide for yourself. But you couldn't use any of that stuff to help anyone else. Corban, it's dedicated to God. So once I die, it all goes to God. And while I'm alive, I can use it, but it still belongs to God. "So whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God." And then, "He need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Meaning if mom and dad come to you because they're in need, you're not going to be able to help them out because I can't give you any of this stuff because it belongs to God and I already dedicated it to him, even though I can still use it. Well, that was never a commandment of God. And by doing that, you keep the commandment God from to be able to do the command of God. He says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Somehow that usurps the word of God. What man's tradition all of a sudden usurps the word of God. Now who's God? They are. So if your parents come to you and they're in need, this obviously was something that was happening in Jesus' time. They say, "Well, I'd like to help you, mom and dad, but I can't. I'm such a godly guy that I've dedicated all this to God, and so I can't help you." Wow. Your traditions cancel out God's commands. It was a convenient way to refuse helping people in need, and even those of your own family. And so it must have been a common practice if Jesus brings it up like he does. And so we do the same thing. We try to rationalize of why we don't help others and why we don't help our own family members. But yet we see Jesus in John 19, verse 26, when he was hanging on the cross, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," meaning John, "standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Jesus, being our perfect example of a son, takes care of his mom by pointing to her and then saying, "John, behold your mother. You are now to take care of her." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home.
That's it for another edition of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. If you've missed any of these teachings and would like to catch up, you can download our free mobile app. It's a great way to take any of Pastor Dave's teachings with you wherever you go. All you have to do is go to the Apple App Store or Google Play and search for Calvary Castle Rock. Once you've installed the app, open it up and click on Teachings, and then go to On the Radio. There you can listen to today's segment or any of the previous segments by broadcast date. You can also subscribe to our radio audio podcast. If you want to learn more about our ministry, please go to our website at calvarycr.com. That's calvarycr.com. As always, thanks again for listening in today. Until our next time together, we want to encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.